This is Talk 8C, and the title is Take Action for God. Our speaker this morning is Father Lou Cerulli. Father Lou Cerulli comes to us from Montreal, Canada. After years of working as a consultant conducting seminars on management and communication skills, Father Lou entered the seminary as a late vocation in 1985 and was ordained in 1991. He is very active in ministering internationally through retreats, workshops, days of reflection, speaking engagements, and healing services. One of Father Lou's desires is to share his experiences and love of the Eucharist with emphasis on the healing power of the sacraments. And he wants me to let you know that he's got a table outside for you to visit. Please join me in welcoming Father Lou Cerulli.
Hallelujah.
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 I always wonder why they have this one on Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know about you, but if you wake up before I do, let me know, please, okay? So, but I guess it's better than not having anything at all. But there's usually not that many people come because they're either getting ready or they're having breakfast. So it is, and I think by the time you get to Sunday, you know, you started out on Friday up here somewhere, and then by the time it gets to Sunday, you know, it's kind of. But anyway, I want to tell you a little something that took place when I was getting ready to come here. August is always a very special time for me. My birthday is on August the 12th. My anniversary is on August the 30th. And I'm always here in California at this time. So this is going to be, for me, a little bit like what heaven must be like. On Friday was the 30th, and I was giving a talk on Friday. So I had an opportunity. So it was my 28th anniversary of ordination. And on, thank you. So I'm just looking forward to the next 28 now. So praise God. And on, so August the 12th was my birthday. Now, so this year, you know, I keep getting closer to the, there's not too many more rungs on the ladder. I'm almost at the very first one now. So I normally don't mention how old I am because I always like to leave people guessing. So I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'll give you a hint. Okay, you ready? Next year I'll be 80. So just so. So this thing that happened back in Montreal, there's a fellow back in Montreal who helps with our ministry, and some of you know Michelle and Brian know me, and others of you know me. So you've probably heard me talk about this fellow before. His name is Pasquale Di Salami, and he helps me with my. Don't laugh now. Come on. I see something. That's not nice. You're supposed to be loving Christian Catholics. I tell you his name and you laugh. I have to go back now and say, Pasquale, I'm sorry. But again, I told them your name and they laughed again. I'm so sorry. So anyway, the thing was, I wanted to make sure how long the flight was going to be because I hate just sitting there on the plane doing nothing. So I wanted to make sure I would have enough material with me to read, maybe do a little bit of work or whatever. So he says, okay. So he goes to the phone, he says, Allo, can you tell me, please, how long is it going to take to go Montreal, Pierre Torelli at the Trudeau Airport? I'm going to go Los Angeles, LAX. How long is it going to take? So the agent says, just a minute. He says, thanks very much. Okay, now I know you're with me, see? Because if you didn't groan or if you didn't laugh, I figured, no, these people aren't awake yet. They're still sleeping, so I know you're awake. The other thing is, to help you to pronounce my name, you have a choice, okay? You have three choices. You can say, most people pronounce it Cerulli, even my family does, because it just seems to be the easiest way. But there's a U in there, C-E-R-U-L-L-I. So some people pronounce it Cerulli. Now, when I was a young boy growing up in Montreal, my family used to call me Luigi Giuseppe Cerulli. So in case you're not too sure, I am of Italian descent. But if you want to say my name in Italian, you have to use your hand. Okay, so it's like, you know, it's Cerulli, you know, it's... Because, you know, Italians, if we put our hands in our pocket, can't talk. No, I got nothing to say. But if you want me to use my hands, then I got a lot to say. So, it's always, the thank God for the English language, but sometimes it's difficult, you know, because in the English language, you can't always find the words that you would like to find to say the things that you would like to say to people. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord that at this stage of my life I can be doing the things that I'm doing still. I retired like 100 years ago, but I haven't, you know, I haven't stopped ever since. And my commitment to the Lord is as long as the phone keeps ringing and people are asking me to go to their parishes or whatever, then I'll just keep doing it. If the phone ever stops, then that means, okay, then I stop traveling. But so far, so good, so... So thank you for your prayers. And don't stop, because if you stop, you will know that you stopped. So, okay, it'll be more painful for you, I think, than for me. So I, of course, want to thank all of the organizers and people behind the scenes that always make these weekends and these conventions possible. Music Ministry, thank you very much for sharing your gifts. For a music ministry to do what they do at these conventions, I mean, they've only got like 2 or 3 or 5 minutes, you know. So they don't really have an opportunity to really show you how gifted they are. So thank you, because I know, you know, it's like... It would be like if I was here to give a talk and I only had 2 minutes, it's like, give me a break, you know. Let me show you a little bit. So I understand what it takes. So God bless you, but keep up the good work. That was good. You did a nice job. Thank you. Some of the material that you may have seen on the table as you were coming in, Maureen will be there, a lady from Arizona who helps me with my ministry. And if any of you are from that part of the country, I'll be going to Arizona in November. Maureen is working on setting up a trip for me there. So if you have friends or relatives, you can pass the word along as well. We have a pretty decent website now. Somebody's been helping us to build that. So it's very easy, fatherlou.com. So you can always get more information about our background. We're still working on it. It's not finished, but it's a lot better than it was. I only have a few books left. I'm all sold out of the English ones, and there's only a few Spanish ones left. I think there's only about 3 or 4. The English title is Take Time to Smell the Flowers, A Book of Healing Prayers. So sometime a few years ago, someone translated it for me into Spanish, so it's available in Spanish as well. There are some CDs there also. You know, some of you, again, who know me know a little bit more about my story. Are anybody here from Palm Desert? Anybody? No? I'll be in Palm Desert on Saturday with one of the Magnificat breakfast people, you know, to give my testimony. And part of my testimony is that there was a time when I was married, suffered through the pain and the agony and the trauma of a divorce. This goes back now 49 years ago. So that was a long time ago. But, so stuff happens sometimes in life. But by the grace of God, one of the graces that came out of that difficult time was the gift of being able to raise a daughter, Renata. She is now 51. They just moved to South Carolina. So I have a daughter, I have a son-in-law, I have a 19-year-old grandson, and a 12-year-old granddaughter. So, don't thank me, thank them. So when I say to you, I understand, I understand. You understand? Okay, so we understand each other. Now, if you want to know more about my story, well, you'll just have to get CD number 1. It just happened that way, you know. But the whole story is there. It was a tough time. We all have some tough times in life. When you go through a really hard time in life, grace is always present at every moment in our lives, although we especially can't see it in the hard times. That is what is called a hard grace. You don't want too many of those in your life. One is more than enough to last you a lifetime, but that's still a grace, and it's usually referred to as a hard grace. So that's CD number one. Number five speaks about forgiveness as a pathway to freedom. Talking about the beauty, the healing power of the Eucharist, unfortunately, or fortunately, we've sold out of the English one, but we do still have some Spanish. Again, there's a Spanish translation. It's healing in the Eucharist, but it's translated into Spanish. The one that people purchase the most, I'm a good storyteller, as you could see, ha ha ha. So the one that people purchase the most is one that is titled Healing Through Humor. Some years ago when I was giving a talk, I was asked to give a weekend retreat. They wanted me to talk about healing, inner healing, physical healing, healing in the womb, healing in the family tree, and healing in the Eucharist. And I thought to myself, these people are going to die. This is going to be a heavy weekend. So I figured, what could I do? So I thought somewhere in between, I broke it up, and I just spent an hour telling people some of my favorite stories. It was in the early days, so we weren't really recording very much at that point, but someone happened to have, by the grace of God, had a cassette recorder with them, so they recorded it. And so that's what's on that particular, now on CD. But it's the one that people purchase the most of. I find that kind of interesting, because we have all kinds of great titles there. But anyway, Maureen will be there. She can help you with any questions. This is my ministry. I travel wherever I'm invited to go. So sometime if you're planning something for your parish or your group or your community, whatever, you can catch up to us on our website. And Maureen or myself or one of our team members will call you, and we'd be obviously more than happy to come to your place and to your group. We're starting to build a mailing list, so if you want to receive any information from us, we have some sheets on the table. If you just give us your name printed out nicely so we could understand it, and your email address, and we'll make sure that that gives us an opportunity to stay in touch. So this particular talk today, as was mentioned, is we're going to be talking about taking action for God. You know, when you're giving a talk, you want to try to find a title that you think will interest people or will touch people's hearts. So it could be any other name. I'm calling it that because you'll see why in some of the things that I'm going to share with you in this particular talk. So let's continue then in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all of our hearts, our mind, our body, and our spirit for this weekend. We thank you for the great blessing with Father Mike Barry last night leading us in the Mass and healing service, for everything that's taking place on this weekend, and for this day today which we offer up in thanksgiving to you and in your holy name. We pray your continued blessing and anointing on each and every one of us gathered here, for all of the people we have with us in our mind, our heart, and our spirit, all of our friends and family and neighbors and colleagues. We ask that you yourself descend upon each and every one of us now and all those people we carry in our mind and heart. We pray that, Mother Mary, that you continue to place your mantle of love upon each and every one of us and our families. And we ask through the intercessory prayers of Raphael, the Archangel of Healing, and you, Lord Jesus, who are the divine physician, you are the healer, you are the healing priest, that you yourself now move throughout the whole of this community gathered here this morning to continue to lay your loving, healing hand upon each and every one of us, as you yourself bless, anoint, heal, and free each of us, members of our family, people we carry in our hearts, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, make a decision. So basically what we're looking at is to make a decision for the Holy Spirit. We know the Spirit is with us, the Spirit is working in us always, constantly calling us always forward, higher, deeper in our relationship. Sometimes I see, like as I'm traveling, people worry about the gifts of the Spirit or, you know, the baptism of the Spirit and worry about, do I have this gift and I'd like this gift and that gift. which is fine, because we are encouraged to ask for. If you want the gifts, you got to ask for them. The Spirit's waiting, but we have to ask for them. But in the same token, what I would suggest you do is the most important thing is to learn how to fall in love with the giver of the gifts. Fall in love with the Holy Spirit. The rest will come out of that relationship of love between the Holy Spirit and us. Because the more we can love, the more open we are. The more open we are, the more the Holy Spirit can continue to work in us. But sometimes you just have to take the first step. Sometimes you just have to take action. Sometimes you're not always sure. Is this of the Holy Spirit or not? Well, we could spend a lifetime worrying is it isn't and not do anything. Whereas sometimes the best we can do is say, Lord, I'm really not sure if this is of you. I believe it is. And so I ask, if it is, please anoint it, because I just want to step out in your holy name. And you do it. Hopefully, it'll work well, and maybe you'll get response from people, but you might not. Or you might not hear about the good part of it. You can't pay attention to that. You can't worry about that. It's if you believe in the depth of your heart that there's something burning in there, and that's a fire of the Spirit, that you have this sense to say what you think you're being led to say. Now, if there is something, it should always come out in love, even if it's maybe a harsh word that might be hard for people to hear, but it can always still be said in love. Jesus sometimes was pretty harsh. He got angry sometimes, but he was still able to make himself known. But, he didn't have to smack people or jump all over them. But when he was serious, they knew he was serious. And sometimes he would say, amen, amen, I say unto you. It's always saying, amen, amen, kid, I'm telling you now, So just take a step out in the Spirit. In the same token, when you're with each other or when you're with friends or in your prayer groups or in your community and somebody does something, then go over and say, when you said that really helped me a lot. I really experienced whatever. I experienced the Holy Spirit, or I felt very peaceful. I had a sore arm and now it's gone. Let people know, because we are called to encourage. Barnabas, the name Barnabas that you see in the scripture when he traveled with Saul Paul, with St. Paul. Barnabas means son of encouragement. I love that. It's not my name, but I love it. My middle name is Joseph. My father's first name was Joseph, and my mother was born on St. Joseph's Day, so I got everything I need, and that's in that respect. So, okay, so here's the thing then. The thing to remember, dear sir, how many of you were at the talk I gave on Friday, just to give me an idea? Oh, okay, God bless you. Some of you weren't. Okay, so those of you know what I'm going to do now, so don't let me finish it before you say anything. Because what I said on Friday and what I'd like to say to you and to any time I'm talking to a group of people, and as you're here on this particular weekend, if nothing else through the whole weekend or from this day or any of the talks that you've been to or books that you're reading or initiatives that you're taking, if nothing else, always remember these five key points that I'm going to share with you now, okay? Number one, God loves you, okay? Take that into your heart. Let it soak into your heart. Secondly, God loves you. The third point is, God loves you. You're so sharp. You caught on to that right away, right? I didn't fool you at all. And the fourth point is,
God loves you.
And the fifth point is, God loves you. You are, the Lord says, in Scripture says, before I knit you in your mother's womb, before I even put you there, before I brought you into this world, I already knew you. I already chose you. I already consecrated you before I put you in your mother's body. I already anointed you. I already called you. And when I put you in your mother's body, it was because I wanted you then to join me as a person, as a human being who you are now and the way you are, to work and walk and live and breathe and love with me. Bring me and my love into the world by being who you are, being the best that you can be, always the best that you can do to love. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. When we worry about, I wish I knew what the Lord wants me to do, the Lord wants you to love. Love yourself, love one another. That's what the Lord wants you to do. There's one of the saints, I'm out of context right now, so I don't remember his name, but a saint who said, love and do what you want. Because if you love, if you're in love with God and the Holy Spirit, anything you're going to do or think or say is going to be out of love, no? So it's that simple and it's that difficult. But keep that word, keep, that's the focus. What is love? Love is divine. Love is God. That's who God is. That's what God is. Love. And so the Lord says, you know, you, in one point, you know, after the Israelites were going through the desert and the Lord is speaking to them, trying to straighten them out and tell them, come on now, let's stop all this mumbling and groaning and let's get on with it because I'm bringing you to the promised land. And he starts to tell them about all of the good that he's going to be bringing into their lives and into their families as things move forward. And then at one point he says, it's almost like he's saying, and the reason why, so he says, behold, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. And it's almost as if you could imagine the Lord being down on bended knees saying, behold, don't you know? Don't you see? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? I'm doing something new. It's happening right now, right in front of you. And then he says, the reason, it's like he's saying, the reason why I'm doing it. So in the scriptures he says, because I love you and because you are precious in my eyes. I mean, this is God, you know, speaking to the people, us, in this particular way. Each and every one of you is already a chosen member of the royal priesthood. The only difference between your priesthood and my priesthood is that this, because of you and your prayers and asking the Lord to send priests into the vineyard, I am an ordained ministerial priest. This is my ministry. This is my life. This is what I'm called to do. The only difference between me is because for you, the community, I am able to celebrate Mass and hear confessions and so on and so forth. But each and every one of you is a member of the royal priesthood. And until you start taking your place in the world, saying, you know, well, why don't they do something about it? How we are the they. There's only so much that we can do as priests. You must begin, most of you are already doing it, but more so now, you need to take your rightful place in the church. I know it can be tough, and I know not every priest will support that. Well, too bad, you got to do it anyway. They put Jesus on the cross, so don't look at that. Just listen to the Lord. Keep your focus on it. Don't take it personally. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew what they were doing and knew what they were saying, they wouldn't be doing this. People wouldn't be saying some of the things, you know. Sometimes, you know, you have a bad hair day and, you know, sometimes stuff comes out. We talk about road rage, you know. There's no such thing as road rage. What there is rage that comes out on the road. The rage is already there, okay? And on the road, well, it's kind of safe. The guy's in the car, and he's in his car, you know. If he was to get out of his car, right? Oh, boy. You know, oh, hello, how are you? Yes, oh, you're so very. Oh, I love you. Yes. My name is, you know. So, but it's rage. It's hard. Why? Because life is tough. Take a look around. But life is also beautiful. It is great because God has a plan for each and every one of us. Something that I learned. I usually come to this later in the talk, but something that I learned. Especially like through my family. My daughter was only 2 years old when her mother left. So my prayer was, Lord, please, you know, I'm Italian, I'm Catholic, I divorced, like 50 years ago. I can't understand the concept, you know, because we exchanged vows and we said, you know, until whatever and so on. So I said, Lord, the only thing I ask is please, Renata, my daughter, she must stay here with me, please. Later, whatever choices she makes in her life, if she decides that she wants to get married or go to university or move out on her own or go and live with her mother, I will never stop in the way of that. How many of you here are parents or have grandchildren or anything like that? Folks, if you've never heard this before, remember this. Two of the most, let's say, in addition to God and love and our faith, you know, in addition to all that which we should be doing anyway, two of the greatest gifts that we can give our children. One is roots, and the second is wings. Because we can't keep them locked down into those roots, you know. Because we're family, yeah, but they also are individuals. So, what I learned was this. I said, you know, whatever she decides to do, I will never stop in the way. Not when she's 5 or 6 years old, but later, you know. So finally, later in life, when she was around 17 or 18, she did start, you know, thinking about other things. So my commitment was, I will always support her in whatever way she feels she needs to go. But what I learned lately is this, that when I said that, you know, I mean, you don't really know what you're committing to, you know. I mean, your heart is in the right place, so that's what's important. But you really don't know, and the Lord doesn't show you what the end is going to be. And the reason for that, so for example, up until 3 weeks ago, they were living in West Nyack in New York State. I live in Montreal. Montreal's my home. I was born and raised there, and that's where I still live. So to go from Montreal to West Nyack was only about a 5-hour drive. So every few months I would drive there, and then they would come up and I would go. So 2, 3, 4 times a year we would see each other. But now they've moved to South Carolina. It's a 4-hour plane ride. See, so I say, Lord, that's not quite what I meant when I said, okay, whatever she, you know. So, but that's part of why the Lord doesn't show us the end. Because if he showed it to us, we would make a judgment and say, no way, no. And when he said to Abraham, okay, now I want you to go. Where do you want me to go? I'm not talking about where to go. I'm telling you, I want you to go. What's your answer? Yes or no? Let me know and then we'll talk. You know? So he said, okay. So the Lord says, okay, go. Well, where do you want me to go? You know? So now think about it. He was a very wealthy man. I mean, he had acres and acres and acres and acres of a lot of land, animals, and he had wealth, and he had a big family and the whole community. And all of a sudden, the Lord is saying, go. I can't take all this land with me. I can't take all these animals. So, okay, so now, and step by step, the Lord showed him along the way. But some of it was tough. So you see, he can't, and I don't think he should show us the whole thing. Because where would be the faith in that? So faith is a walk in the dark, isn't it? In the sense that we don't know. We believe in faith, you know, so. Anyway, so roots and wings, I found that very helpful. It could be a little painful too when the wings part comes into the picture, but anyway, it's all part of it. And, you know, we need to support our children, always be present to them, always be ready to listen. And, you know, we know sometimes they're going to make mistakes. You cannot put a 50-year-old head on a 20-year-old body. It ain't going to work. They're going to have to find some things out on their own. But we can make it maybe as pleasant for them as possible. And so here we go then, you know, this is your royal priesthood. You are called to take action, to act, to go at the end, you know, go in the peace of Christ. Before we say glorify, you know, now we say go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. You know, go, take a step, go. I usually you'll hear priests say the Mass is ended, and I know why they say, and I say, no, it's not. You know, because it's not. It's just starting. You know, and when you get out there, the Mass is still going on. You're bringing all the grace and all the blessing with you. So you don't say, okay, the Mass is over. Now I can go out there and start beep, 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 beep. Come on, hurry up, get going. And you're still in the church parking lot at that point. You just prayed, oh, holy, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus. Came up, received communion. Beep, 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 beep. Come on, get going. Oh my God, you got to see the Lord up there saying, oh, what did I do now? What did I do to deserve this? You know, we're human. We're human, and that's just the way it is. So it's not a problem. So the idea is, here I am, Lord. You have anointed me. I want to serve. You're calling me. My answer is yes. I don't know what the question is. I don't know what it's all about. All I know is my answer is yes. Okay, so I pray, please help me to be aware. Give me the grace that I need to remain in and to live that, yes, that fiat. Mary made her fiat. But before, she didn't just say, you know, when the angel gave her the message, she didn't say, okay, great, let's do it. Mary said, but how can this be? And then the scripture says she pondered. Now, we sort of think, like, probably within seconds she pondered. Okay, I thought about it. Okay, I don't think so. I think she pondered. She was a deeply spiritual, prayerful woman. She must have taken quite a long period of time before she finally said, you know, but when you read it in the scriptures, you think everything happened in 3 seconds. I don't think so. And then she and Joseph taught Jesus what that was all about as well. So that when it came time when Jesus had to make his big fiat that would take him to the cross, it wasn't as if at that moment all of a sudden he had to think about it and say yes. Because they would have already taught him when he was at their feet as a child. He would have already gotten a sense of this idea of fiat, this willingness to take action, to take a step, and to move forward in the Holy Spirit. And he would have had other experiences through because of them as his family. So when he got to that big yes, he was able to make it. But what did he do first? He went into Gethsemane. And he did what you and I do. He complained, Lord, please take this cup away. This is too much. I can't take this. That's what we do. So he murmured, he groaned, he complained. But when he got to the end, he got it off his chest. It's okay to do that. It's okay to vent. Talk to the Lord. He knows it's there anyway. So what the heck are you trying to hide it from? He knows what's going on. But when he got to the end, he said, yet thy will be done. And that's the most important part of that whole moment of his greatest fiat ever. And so we are all connected. All of us are together. We are called to take our spiritual anointing, to take it seriously by taking action for God. Now, that taking action for God is not always going to be exactly the way we would like it to be. Think of the Our Father. Now, after I share this with you, you might not want to pray the Our Father anymore, but think about this. What's the first part of it? Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That means, in order for the Lord's will to be done, my will's got to go. I can't do the Lord's will and mine at the same time. So, well, what do I do? Simple. Give it to the Lord. Lord, I give you my will. I give you my freedom. You've given it to me. I give it back to you. Do with it what you want. I come to do your will. So that, when we say, thy will be done, that's thy will. It's either a yes or it's a no. It's not a, well, let's see, let me think about it, let me ponder, You get the idea. You understand why I'm saying that. Because we pray this beautiful prayer, and it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, pay attention. Sometimes when people come for a confession, whatever it is that they're talking about, which is always, of course, personal and private, nobody else knows about it. But sometimes I will tell people, okay, the main purpose, the main reason for the sacrament of reconciliation, the main reason why you and I are here at this moment, at this particular time in your life, is because this sacrament, we know it's a sacrament of forgiveness and mercy, but it's also a sacrament of healing. And the primary purpose of this sacrament is God's love. The most important thing God wants you to know is God loves you. He saw what you did. He knows what you did. And he knows you're sorry. And God will. So you don't have to beat yourself over the head. Okay? You come before the Lord. You make your confession. So you sometimes, not always, it depends on the circumstance, but sometimes what I will tell people is, now, for your penance, I want you to pray the Our Father. But pray it very carefully. Pray it prayerfully. And as you're praying, remember, God loves you. And pray the prayer that way, thinking with love. Thinking, Father, again, those of you who are at the Mass, that's what Father Mike was talking about. Love. That's what the whole thing is all about. Jesus went to the cross out of love. Mary gave her fiat out of love. It's all because of love. So that's where the focus. So love, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's Mary, it's the angels, it's the saints. Love. And so when we consider the theme of today, in terms of Jesus' hope of the world, but he's not there by himself. That's why he's calling us Because we, together with Jesus, we are the hope of the world with Him. You know, again, I usually say this later in this talk, but when we talk about the things that need to be done and taking action and taking a step and trying to do, you know, not all of us are called to stand up here and maybe get in front of hundreds or thousands of people and give talks. Some people are called to do that. But it's just whatever, and basically what the Lord is asking you to do is in your daily life, live it remembering who you are and why the Lord has put you with that person or in that office or in that kitchen or in that car or whatever. Because the reason for it is love. Always to be living love, speaking love, radiating love, 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 love. That's what it's all about. So again, when we look around and say, oh, the things that are going on in the world, well, you need to take action, you know, because if not you, who? If not here, where? If not now, when? So at some point, we just have to take that big step, you know. And maybe it might only be, you know, you want to know the difference that a step can make. Now, I'm not a gymnast, but if you've ever watched like gymnasts on TV and in the Olympics or something, okay, and so they run and they jump and they do that, right? But sometimes they jump and they do that. That's it. No good. That's just a little step because they, you know, because the way that they landed, they didn't land straight. That's a little step, but it was enough to say, well, sorry, you're not getting the gold. Okay, so just a little step. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to make a big jump from here to there. You can't do that anyway. Take that first little step, whatever it is. Be ready, because faith, dear sisters and brothers, faith is not passive. It's not, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Open up the ceiling. Let me see. Do it. Open my heart, Lord. Open my heart, Lord. You know, no, it's not passive. It, sometimes, you know, the Lord will work us in us in such ways as that. But it's not passive. Faith is active waiting. It's not passive. It's not... Not here yet. Didn't get my answer yet. It's been 3 seconds since I prayed, Lord, and I didn't get my answer just yet, you know? Okay? It's active waiting. In other words, you know, there are things that we can be doing while we are waiting, while we are waiting for clarity. Maybe we go to spiritual direction, or we go to scriptures, or we go to work and we try to be the best we can be at that particular moment. And somewhere along the line, in the midst of our daily routine, most often, then the inspirations will start to come. And sometimes we'll get that, oh my God, you know. So take the first step and just keep, stay awake, be ready. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I'm yours. Take me, Lord. Use me. Use me, Lord. Help me to grow in your holy name. So we see in the scriptures in Luke chapter 4 how this is where the Lord says, He has anointed me. Okay, now that passage of scripture where Luke is quoting all of what has happened. So He has anointed me. When we read the scripture, we see there's when we understand what's going on in that passage of scripture, we're going to see, we read the scripture, we see an immediate meaning, but there's also a long-term meaning. You know, it means something right now, but it also has a long-term meaning to it as well when we're reading it, okay? So in this particular case, in Luke's gospel, Jesus proclaims the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to bring the good news. So the first part of that is the immediate thing, that he recognizes what the Lord is calling him to do. Now the next thing is going to be the long range is now you've got to get out there and take some initiative and get it started. And so in the immediate sense, we know that Jesus really was anointed by the Holy Spirit at that particular moment. When he was baptized by John in the Jordan, the Spirit came upon him. But in the long term, moving beyond that, Jesus wants us to know that this same Spirit has anointed us as well. I'll wait till... You see how easy it is for us to be distracted? Now, the reason why I'm purposely stopping, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but listen to what I'm saying. Don't go away. You'll like this. You know Father John Farrell, who's here? He's an exorcist. Okay? Now, a couple of years ago, John and I were in Hawaii together to minister. It was a sacrifice for baby Jesus, but we had to be there. So, look, the Lord called, we had to go. But here's what, so we each had turns. You know, he'd give a talk, I'd give a talk, and so on and so forth. So in one of his talks, he was trying to help people to understand, especially when you're in prayer, and especially when you are at the prayer of the Mass, pay attention, be careful, watch what you're doing, pay attention. Because, he says, when you're, you know, let's say you're focusing on maybe the readings going on or the priest is praying one of the prayers, and all of a sudden your head kind of goes over there. And he says, the moment you did that, you just missed what the Lord had to say to you. It's that simple. Now, folks, I'm not here to judge you because I do the same thing. I'm at the altar and people come in, and what's the natural thing to do? You find where they are. It's sort of annoying. After a while, like especially if you're, because you know everybody else is watching you, so you got to be careful. So after a while, you start to train yourself, you know, to just not be careful of the distractions. Because it's like a temptation. It's very subtle. You know, somebody makes a noise, we got to see what the noise was all about, you know. So it's, you know, sometimes we talk about warfare. It doesn't have to be, you know, like there's thunder and lightning and the world is falling apart. It can be very, very subtle. A little noise, we're distracted. Psst, the Lord just spoke to us. Oh, I missed it. You know, doesn't take much, right? So when Jesus gives us the great commandment, which is to love God and to love one another, what he's doing when he gives us that commandment, he is telling us to follow his example. We are sisters, we are brothers, we are united, we are one with him in the Holy Spirit. We are all connected, Jesus, us, everyone, past, present, future. So, what are we going to do? We to listen. So, he was saying to us to go and set people free. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. He was urging us and is urging us to hear and to respond to the cry of the poor, which our good Pope Francis keeps reminding us about. He was asking us to be as concerned with people who are in need, various types of needs, just as much as we are with our relationship with the Lord, as concerned as we are about that, to be that concerned about the people beside us and around us and in the streets and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, it can be quite easy to be sort of like pious, you know, and sometimes it's a false pious, you know, we think, oh, so prayerful, and in the meantime, somebody's hurting, or doesn't mean we can, you know, we can't save everybody and we can't be out there helping, but it's to listen to the promptings of the Spirit. When you get those inspirations or you see something's happening and you get a little sense about something, follow it, go with it, trust the Holy Spirit leading you and say, look, you see what's going on with this person, here's what I'm asking you to do. What's that? Maybe smile. Maybe, are you okay? Can I help? You know, I don't know what. You will know if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, if you focus on the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're getting ready, you're going out the door in the morning, okay, Holy Spirit, where are we off to today? You know, let's go, dum-da-dum-da-dum, and get out there and see where the Holy Spirit leads you. So, are we okay with that so far? All right? You know, as you're listening, you know, I'm a human being, so I can only use human words, which are not strong enough to try to communicate to you what I would like to communicate. So I'm at the mercy of the Holy Spirit. I have to trust the Holy Spirit to use my inability to say what the Spirit wants me to say in the way that the Spirit, but I don't worry about that, because the Holy Spirit will help you to hear what you need to hear. I can't tell you how many times people will come up, either after a talk like this or after a homily or during a mass, they come up after mass and say, oh, you know, Father, when you said such and such, and you're standing there and saying, I never said that, like to yourself. And you know you never said, but that's what the person heard. What they're telling you that you said, that's what they heard. Doesn't matter what you think you said or what, and even if you had it down there and you're reading it word for word, they heard what the Spirit needed them to hear. Because in what is being said, and especially when the Scriptures are being proclaimed, listen, when we come to Mass, because we are encouraged to bring our intercessions, our prayers, you know, we pray for people, we pray for our needs, and so on and so forth. The Lord is going to honor that. In the readings, there are going to be specific words, ideas, thoughts, phrases, paragraphs, something that has been especially anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak to what it is that's in your heart at that particular moment. You got to listen. Listen. You might hear just one word, and it could be a word that nobody has ever said, but if that's what you heard, then that's what you go with, because that's the Lord answering your prayer in the way that He knows you need to hear it. So I just trust the Holy Spirit to fill the gap between what I can or can't say and what you do or do not hear, as long as it's all coming from the Holy Spirit. So we're taking action for God. Where is God calling you? Just ask the Lord. Lord, here I am, Lord. You're calling? Okay. My answer is, here I am. I come to do your will. So what's the next step? Where do you want me to go from here, Lord? You know, and then you see, you get a sense as you're going along. Sometimes it's just almost like a vague idea that you know, like if you're not paying attention, it's going to go because it's so vague. It took me a long, long time to realize, you know, like some people are so gifted, like let's say in the word gifts or something like that, you know, and prophecy and like healing, you know, some healing, some, like you hear people pray, you know, poof, that one's healed, poof, heal, poof, poof, poof. People are being healed, jumping out of wheelchairs. I've never had the poof. I've had the puh, but not the oof. So, yet, people have come up to me after a service or times later or weeks or months or years later, and people will share. So I say, oh, well, that was a poof, all right, you know. So you see, you can't worry about that. So you can only do what you sense is going on. Pay attention to that and do it and trust that that's from the Lord. He will do what He needs to do. You don't need to know. And if we knew too much about what He was doing and all the good, then we'd start to think it's us. That's why, you know, like people say, are you a healing priest? Are we going to have a healing mass? No, I'm not a healing priest. There's no such thing as a healing priest except one, Jesus. Jesus is the only healing priest. There are priests He uses. There are people He uses to mediate His healing grace. But He is the healer. You know, when a priest celebrates Mass, it's not the priest who's making the Mass present. It's Jesus who is there. The expression is in persona Christi. The priest is standing there in the name of Jesus. And the one who is celebrating is Jesus, using our inadequate, humble, human ways of doing things. But it is Jesus who is there at the altar celebrating that Mass. It doesn't matter, you know, we worry about, is it a good priest, is it a bad priest? Is it, that doesn't change the Mass. The priest can be the worst priest you've maybe ever heard of. I hope that never happens. But it doesn't change what's going on when he's celebrating the Eucharist. It's not dependent. Thank God it's not dependent on who I am as a human being, you know. So it's all about God. This is all about God and His action in our lives. And our action really is like a response. That could be your action. That could be the action you're going to take. The Lord's saying something, you're going to respond. Lord, tell me more. I want to know more. You'll go to a passage of Scripture. You'll ask your spiritual guide. That's your action. You know, it doesn't have to be like jumping or running or hammering or whatever, you know, because I think we tend to think of things in like, I'm doing something physical, I'm moving. Could just be that. Okay, Lord, I'm going to talk to my spiritual director about that. Okay? So, continuing then, so I mentioned about before you were born, you're precious in my eyes, this spiritual anointing, to take it very, very seriously, because the Lord has much grace and blessing and anointing in store for you. I want to share something with you from a book titled With Burning Hearts, A Meditation on the Eucharistic Life, by Henri Nouwen. He died just a few years ago, but it is a beautiful book. My ministry is based mainly on the Eucharist. Almost everything I do, everywhere I go, has to do with cell. Even if it's like if I come to give a talk to your group or prayer group, and you want to talk on a certain thing, usually I always like to try to finish it off with a Mass, because the Mass is where everything comes together. Everything else is talk, which is good. What we're doing here is good, but at some point, it's got to show itself in our lives. It's got to be manifest in our lives. So I just wanted to share with you some. I just started reading it again the other day, but here's some of what he teaches us in this beautiful book. So he said, like in this idea of Lord, what are you called? What is the Eucharist that you have celebrated in your life that stands out most in your mind? The one that you remember the most? You don't have to answer me now. And why? What was there about that Mass that it meant so much to you and it still like burned deep in your spirit? Because obviously there was something there that Mass had something kind of a special anointing for you or whatever. So here he's talking about in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, if you could be like where we are as priests and to see, see like people sitting out there and they're talking to each other and they're looking in their bags and they're moving and they're this and they're, I mean, we're human. I don't want to judge, but it's like, any of us, you always want the best for the people that you love, right? Children, anybody there. It's the same for us as priests. If we're really doing what the Lord is calling us to do, really what we want is for you to get the best of everything that the Lord has. So sometimes I have to be careful because my human side says, but Lord, they're not even paying attention. And it's like he's saying, that's none of your business. Your business is they're here, you love them, and you minister to them. So it's to get that sense of, no, that's okay, you can put that away. I'm good with the time. Don't worry about it. Relax. Don't let it disturb you. Okay, so he says, okay, in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, do I know what I am doing? Do those who stand or sit around the table with me, do they know what they are a part of? Do they know what's going on? Does something really happen that shapes my daily life? When I go out there after each Mass that I've attended and celebrated, because you also are celebrating the Mass. It's not just me, and it's not just Jesus. It's me, you, Jesus, all together celebrating this Mass. So we're doing our part. You got to do your part also. And we can see when you're not doing your part. So there. So in another part, he says, it is more than a lovely ceremony. It's more than a soothing ritual or a comfortable routine. And finally, does the Eucharist give life? Life that has the power of overcoming death. Now listen, I know there are some tough times in life. I'm not belittling that. We've all had them. But the Eucharist is something pretty powerful and pretty special. How can all my life be Eucharistic? And how can the daily celebration of Eucharist make it that way? Are there connections between the celebration of the Eucharist, let's say the daily, if you have the blessing to be able to do that, and my daily human experience? Does my experience, the things that I do and say and how I act in life, does it show that I celebrate the Eucharist, that I've come for the Eucharist, that I am living the Eucharist? And so we enter every celebration with a contrite heart, and we pray the Kyrie eleison, Christ have, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, and so on. We listen to the word, the scripture readings, the homily, we profess our faith, we give to God the fruits of the earth and the work of human hands, and we receive from God the body and blood of Jesus, and finally, we are sent back into the world to bring it all with us to everybody that we meet. And so to join with Jesus in this task of evangelization and renewing the face of the earth. The Eucharist summarizes the life that we are called to live in the name of God. And it is only when we recognize, understand, appreciate, and live the richness and recognize how rich this network of connection is, our connection with the Eucharist and Jesus. Jesus, the whole communion of angels and saints are present with us when we're celebrating the Eucharist. When we recognize that, it is only then that the Eucharist can be worldly and our lives can become Eucharistic. In other words, dear sisters and brothers, make Eucharist matter. Live it in your lives every day. You don't have to be, you know, as if you were an hour at Mass, but every once in a while throughout the day, stop, consider what you're doing, and remember that you're doing it through and with God. And so what we celebrate and what we are called to live are the same thing. What we celebrate and what the Lord is calling us to do, it's all the same thing. And so in one of the Masses some weeks ago, we had this opening prayer. Almighty ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, so that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Dear sisters and brothers, we're going to have just a quick, you know, people talk about our Protestant brothers and sisters, how they have an altar call. And let me just see if this is
1, 2, 1, 2.
I don't know. Is this one any better? This one? Yeah, it's okay. So they think that we Catholics don't have an altar call. Let me ask you something. When you come up for Holy Communion, what do you think that is? I can't think of a more precious altar call than that. Okay, so we have to wind up. Let this be the most power-filled 5 minutes of your life that you've ever spent. Open your mind, open your heart, open your spirit. Put everything else aside as best you can. Put it all aside. Put it over there in the corner. You can go and pick it up later. All right? Because I know you don't want to let go of all of that stuff. But just get that sense that here we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is here. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with you. I am there with you, dear sisters and brothers. Get that sense of the Spirit. The Spirit is here with us. O Holy Spirit, O Lord Jesus Christ, O Heavenly Father, the whole communion of angels and saints, our guardian angel, all of the archangels, we call upon the full power of heaven present here with us today to descend upon this room and upon each and every one of us gathered here today, Lord, in your holy name, to fill us to the overflowing with the full anointing of the fire, the power, and the anointing of the Spirit. That Spirit, that Holy Spirit that you gave to each and every one of us, who already resides within each and every one of us by the very nature of the fact that we are baptized. We are already a Holy Spirit person. We are already filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, Lord, we ask you for, that's what we call the infilling of the Holy Spirit already there. All right? The Holy Spirit is in there. What we're going to call upon now, Lord, is your baptism of the Spirit to bring this total, whole, complete presence of the Spirit to touch the gifts that are there already and to release the fullness of this fire and power and anointing that you have given us in our baptism. Fill us, Lord Jesus. Release your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fan the flame, Lord Jesus. Lord, Alleluia. 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 Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit descend upon each and every one of us now.
to fill us, to wash, to cleanse, to heal, to purify. Let your Spirit, you, Lord Jesus, lay your loving, healing hand upon each and every one of us to bless and anoint, to heal and free us physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Allow that power of your Spirit to move from the top of our head down through the whole of our body to the bottom of our feet. Set us free, Lord Jesus. Set us free, Lord Jesus. Set us free, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray, Lord. In your holy name we pray, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're right on time. Look at that. Look at your watch. What time you got? Right on the button. God bless you, everyone. Let's keep each other in prayer.
Anyone want to join, celebrate the Mass with Father again? Yes? In Fountain Valley Holy Spirit Church, September 17th. That's 6:30 p.m.
Thank you, Father Lou. This has been Talk 8C, Take Action for God.
This has been a recording from the SCRC Tape Ministry. All rights are reserved.